Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Here's a segment we've been looking forward to for a very long time. We're going to pay tribute to the Stay All On. I call it the disco. Stay All On Night nightclub over there in Stone Park, which was 79 to 94, a high time for Vanna White. The band, the Stay All Band, did a record where you did that song, Vanna. And we have the band in the studio with us, and we have drummer, vocalist, Bob Serio. Bob, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Dave? God bless you.
And Bill Robinette, my old friend from the Stay Out, the old manager. Nice to see you, Bill.
Hi, Dave. Good to see you again.
Okay. So let's do Stay Out 101. I mean, I was a participant for a while, but tell us what it was. 79 to 94, 1616 North Mannheim Road, Stone Park. So, Bill, why don't you talk about, that's how I met you, I think.
It is. It certainly is, Dave. Everybody came there. I mean, it was open all night long. At one point in time, we had a 23-hour liquor license. Went from 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. We didn't stay open 23 hours, personally, but a lot of clubs in the area certainly did. Everybody came there, football players, hockey players, wrestlers. Basketball players, wrestlers. Well, I was involved with the WWF at the time. I was doing the ring announcing at the Rosemont Horizon.
I do remember that.
And in fact, you were in Baltimore one time with the Bulls.
I was.
You were covering the Bulls one time, and you were in Baltimore in a bar, and you looked up on the screen, and I was on the screen.
That's true.
So, yeah, I've done a lot of things, of course, if you would have told me 20 years ago that I'd be Santa Claus at the White House, I would have never believed that.
We'll get to that, too. Okay. We got a lot of time here. But, you know what I remember about the Stay Out? You had the circus people there, the Ringling Brothers people.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that. They would come after they were probably at the Rosemont. You weren't that far from Rosemont.
Well, I used to do a circus party for the Ringling Brothers people, and they all came. Some pretty amazing people.
They would juggle ashtrays.
Well, no, not really. But we had the high wire walkers that literally, you know, walked on this high wire with no nets.
At the club or in the circus?
No, in the circus. But they had a 10 o'clock show in the morning, and they were still there at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I was really worried about their well being.
Bob, how did you get into the Stay Out world?
How did I get into it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Well, I was a bouncer there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I started out as a bouncer because we had gone from a country and western bar to a disco.
Was the Stay Out one time a country western bar?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a rock and roll bar.
Well, it was
the Earth Lounge.
We had some country western songs in there.
Yeah,
and
so you were a bouncer.
So yeah, I was a bouncer. We were going through a transition at that point. And next thing you know, we're at disco, and then Bill and I started playing together, and the rest is history.
Well, how'd the band form, right?
Well, you're right. It was actually, it was by accident. I think a buddy of mine the DJ had a set of drums in there. Bill started playing. We got another guitar player maybe later on, but it was just him and I doing centerfold for Jay Giles' song.
Jay Giles' band? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a Jake Hall song. It was our first song we did.
And let's prop the original band. Who are the original band members?
Oh, my gosh. It was Bert, maybe?
No, it was me, you, Jimmy Johnson was on keyboard and saxophone. And we had several different guitar players through the period. Mark Ellman was one.
Right.
Bert.
And
Jimmy Kidd, so on and so on.
So we heard the Vanna song. You did a record.
Yes,
that was about 87. Tell us the roots of that song, and did you guys know Vanna White?
Well, my dad, it was a labor of love for my father to do this album.
Uh-huh.
It was the guy.
Tell us who your dad was.
Well, he was a monster. His name is Vic Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened up Caesar's Palace in 66, had his own club in 68, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Wes Montgomery, Cannonball Adderley. They all played there. He was a jazz cat from the 50s in Chicago playing the Le Bistro and on Rush Street. So anyway, he winds up producing Hefner's Girlfriends, and he wrote Nixon's campaign song.
Yeah, now tell us about that. Don't skate over that.
Which one?
Nixon's the one, right?
Oh, Nixon's the one, yes.
So
yes.
How did that go?
How does it go? Yeah. Nixon's the one. Nixon's the one. That's the whole song.
That's so it didn't take him long to write it, right?
So, then later on, he's doing Hard Bodies, the movie Hard Bodies.
Right.
Another great movie that he did. He did so many great movies. But it wound up that we hung out with him, and Bill started hanging out. Next thing you know, well, let's do an album. It was like a Mickey Rooney movie.
Yeah.
You know, let's put up a show. So that's what we did. We had Talent Night, and we had Winners. We had they played with us. And it was just a labor of love. He wrote Vanna. We walked in the studio, Remington Rhodes.
Where was Remington Rhodes at? Schaumburg?
It was in Schaumburg.
Yeah, right. That's right. Okay.
Actually, it was Head & West Studio.
Oh, I remember Head & West. Okay, so go ahead. You walk in the studio.
So we walk in the studio. I go, what are we doing here? We have nothing planned. And he sits
like this
down.
Radio show.
Right. Nothing's right. So he sits down at the piano and he starts playing. Dun, 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 dun. And I'm like, where's he going with this? Next thing you know, he starts writing Vanna. And I'm like, oh, okay. Vanna, because Vanna was a playmate.
Yeah.
And he, very close with my dad. And it winds up that he wrote that song while we were in the studio for our first song. But he already had it. He knew what was going on. You know, he knew exactly what he wanted. And to do the flip side of that album with all these novice people that were, you know, I don't know how he did it. It was a miracle.
So you're in the band, and then tell us about your other job where you got the name of the Singing Sheriff. We were talking about this at the IHOP the other day, but
Well, I've still performed all my life, even when I was working for the Sheriff's Department.
So, okay, so set it up. You'd be playing at the Stay Out.
At Stay Out, it's 2 a.m.
2 a.m,
we'd start when Bill gets around to it.
We started at 2 a.m.
We started at 2 in the morning.
And we went till like 6 a.m.
It could have been 3 a.m. sometimes with you, Bill.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It was whatever. Bill comes out and says, okay, we're going to start.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I have to go to work at 7:30.
The Cook County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so you're leaving the Stay Out and you're going to work.
So they started a whole shift for me. It was great. I loved doing that. That was the greatest career of my life.
What'd you do at the Sheriff's Department?
Well, I worked transportation. I worked the jail. I worked the courts. I've done everything.
I was reading all that background you gave me. Did you sing to the inmates at times?
Yeah, yeah.
So what was that like?
I had a captive audience.
Yeah, of course. So what would you sing and how did they react?
And then a lot of people thought it was, what do they call it, where it's too much pressure on these guys for me to sing to them.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But no, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. They sang along with me.
What what would you cover?
Just everything. Blues, rock. Next thing you were doing, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. Next thing you know, everybody's singing. The whole freaking bus is singing. Ain't too proud to beg.
The bus. You were singing on the bus. Yeah. You musicians came into the Stay Out. We would talk. I mean, didn't Herman's Hermits come in there once? Talk about some of the people who visited.
Well, Herman's Hermits were good friends of mine. I'd known them for years. And yes, they came into the club. They actually came in and played one night. David Clayton Thomas brought his whole band there.
Weird Al, don't forget.
Weird Al Yankovic came there.
He was a little ticked off.
Yeah, we kept him there. It was like the sun was shining when he left it. He was a little bit miffed. He wanted to sleep at some point.
Yeah, he wanted his
little. That happened to me. Leaving the Stay Out with the sun out is not a good thing.
Well, that's right. We had no windows.
Yeah.
We had no windows, solid doors. And we used to sell sunglasses at the door.
You did. I remember that.
$2. You buy a pair of sunglasses. And people go, I don't need a pair of sunglasses. They open the door. They turn around. Give me a pair of the sunglasses.
Yeah, describe the room. Describe what was it before it was a Stay Out? I mean, was it always a club?
It was Earth Lounge. And before that, it was a Greek club. It was the Fire Lounge. Let's see. It was
capacity, about how much was it?
About 300.
300.
300 something like that.
What was that black stuff on the ceiling?
Yeah, you had black stuff on the ceiling.
Well, it was foam. A spray. It was it was actually cut up newspaper, ground up newspaper, and they sprayed it on the ceiling, and then we painted it black.
Well, you helped design the club too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did the sound and the lighting and everything in there.
Great job.
Yeah. It was an awesome club. I mean, you could really. Yeah, I don't have to tell you this, but you could lose track of time in there. You could sit there, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, and the next thing you know, it's
I think Dave
8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was a participant a couple times.
Yeah.
The VIP room that I was in was very small. It was like a closet or something.
It was a closet.
Yeah.
Well, originally it was a
coat room.
Coat room. The coat room turned into the VIP room, but you could put about 7 or 8 people in there comfortably.
Can we talk about the wet T-shirt contest?
We could do that in a minute, but I was talking to David Jennings because I was so excited about this segment, and David Jennings were talking. You know, I mean, I knew Stone Park was wide open, but how were you able to stay open so late?
Well, the town had home rule, which meant that they could make up their own laws as far as liquor laws. And at one point, like I said, at one point in time, we had a 23-hour license. Then they decided to cut it back to 6:30 in the morning, which was okay with me. I mean, but we had people from, I mean, we had people. One time, I get a tap on my shoulder, and it was Al Secord.
Oh, really?
And he had 3 guys with him, and they had just flown from Toronto. They were partying in Toronto, and he said, "Hey, I know a place."
That's right.
And he had his own plane, so they got in a plane in Toronto, flew to O'Hare Airport, drove to stay out, and there they were. But I've had people come. That was probably the farthest anybody ever came to come there. But I've had people from Milwaukee. I've had people from, you know, the south side of Chicago, Aurora, west side of Chicago, Palatine.
I was looking at Tom Chambers, basketball player.
Yeah.
His picture hung in the VIP room.
Yes.
Why was that?
Tom Chambers was a good friend of one of my doormen.
Okay.
Okay. Paul Smith, who we called, he wrestled with Windy City Wrestling as Hurricane Smith. And he had a partner, Bobby, who was also a doorman. Sonny Rogers was a doorman. They all wrestled with Windy City Wrestling. But Tom Chambers was a friend of Paul, and when they came to town to play the Bulls, we got tickets for the game. We went, we watched the game, and then Tom Chambers came to the club afterwards, and of course we got a poster from him. And
oh, that's great!
It hung in the VIP room.
That's great. We're going to take a break, and then you're going to come back. And the audience is really going to love this. You're going to play the Stay All Night theme.
We are?
Yep. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
Want to see you dance. Want to see you shake. Want to see the sexy moves that your body can make. Stay out all night till the break of day. I wanna see you dance, wanna see you shake, wanna see the sexy moves that your body can make. Stay out all night till the break of day. Gonna have some fun, gonna take it all the way. Well, let me see what you can do. There's no one else that can do it like you do. One day your body move into the beat. Put me on fire, girl, can't you feel the heat? We're gonna stay. Dance the night away, hold each other tight. We're gonna stay up all night. Whenever I'm with you, everything's alright, alright. Stay out all night. Don't need no sleep, you're my energy supply. When I start to wear it down, your kisses get me high. Make me excited, moving round the floor. Don't stop me now, I'm gonna have some more. Gonna be with desire, gonna be with sin. Wanna touch your hair, wanna feel your skin. Now don't hold back, just let yourself be free. Keep on pushing, give it all to me. We're gonna stay out all night. Dance the night away, hold each other tight. whenever I'm with you. Everything's all right, all right. Stay out all night. Stay out. Wanna see the dance? I wanna see the shake. Wanna see the sexy move? That's your body, your name. Stay out all night till the break of day. Gonna have some fun, gonna take it all away. Wanna tell the world, let them see what you can do. There's no one else that can do it like you. Wanna see your body move, move into the beat. Put me on fire, girl, can't you feel the heat? You're gonna stay out all night. Yeah, I'm with you.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and that's the Stay Out All Night band with the Stay Out theme. Bill, do you want to introduce the band? Who all we heard there?
Yes, sir, Dave. On the drums, an original member of the Stay Out band was Bob Cesario, or Bob Caesar, as we called him. On guitars, we have Earl Rosen, and we have Raz Kuzik. Neither of them were members of the Stay Out band, but they learned the song just to do it here at the radio show. Because the only ones left of the Stay Out band is Bob and myself.
We got about a minute before we break for the news. But what was the DJ was Ron Day for a while, right?
That's pretty
good name for the Stay Out All Night.
Ron Day. Yeah, he was on several radio stations in Chicago.
Was he really?
Yeah,
Ron Day.
He was on Q101 at one point in time. Yes, he played. He worked a couple of radio stations in Chicago, and then we had Frank Hooper, of course, who was a Chicago comedian, and worked out very well as a DJ. And we had several DJs that came in from time to time.
I don't remember. Was there much live music, or it was mostly DJ?
Mostly DJ. I mean,
dancing. There was a dance
floor.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
There were girls.
We did have some live bands. We had the Piranha Brothers play there. Oh, we had several bands that played there.
Yeah. Okay.
But it wasn't that wasn't the feature.
Okay, we're going to take a break for David Jennings in the news. We're going to come back with some more music, and then we're going to talk about your career as Santa Claus for President Obama, right?
Okay.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
There's little girls and ladies, and I know the difference between the two. Yes, I do. So when I need you, baby, baby, I come looking round for you.
I could listen to that all night. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN. That's the Stay Out All Night band. Little Girls and Ladies from your 1987 record. Can people still find that? Is it on eBay or anything?
Well, check Bob Cesario on YouTube, and there's a...
You've done a great job of archiving all this.
150 videos that I put on, and you can check out a time and space of Stay Out, how we played and everything. From the Stay Out band, it was great just having some videos. Bill used to have a camera and shoot everything.
I know that.
not quite everything, Dave.
So tell us about Little Girls and Ladies. Tell us about that song.
Great song. My dad wrote it with, it was written, my dad wrote it, the music for it, and we were at Hefner's game room in Homely Hills in L.A., and my dad was playing it on a piano. Now, Shel Silverstein is in the room, and my dad's playing it, and Shel goes, oh, my God, I got perfect words for those. And my dad and Shell got together that night and recorded a demo at Shell's house. And after that, a couple of days later, Shell decides he's going to give it to Dr. Hook.
Dr. Hook, which he'd right. done. He'd worked with Dr. Hook.
Right.
Yeah. And Sylvia's mother, was that his? Yeah, yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Cover the Rolling Stone.
Yeah, right.
And he wrote Boy Named Sue, Unicorns.
Sure, of course.
So he decided to give it to Dr. Hook, and we went into Capitol Records. Now he starts, Dennis does it. Beautiful job. It's kind of a bluesy, the way he did it. It was a bluesy piano, real dark thing. But it wound up, we're at Capitol, and they didn't use it. But I met Cannonball Adderley that day, which was really a thrill for me. Because he was in the studio next door, and my dad had him at his club in 68, Caesars Forum.
Okay.
So it winds up that my dad always had this, and I loved that song. I did it at a few benefits and things like that I would perform at. And next thing you know, my dad, we did the album, and that was on the album.
That's a great story. You have stories about hanging out at Hefner's Mansion.
I lived there practically. We ate there every day, and ribs by the pool with Dizzy Gillespie playing, Ray Brown. Everybody would be there, and it was just fun, and it was a joy.
You played pool with Tony Curtis?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about that. Beat him.
I beat him, and my dad was talking to him and says, you know, I remember the first time I saw you at a movie, and it was a cameo of you, and it said Anthony Curtis. And he said, yeah, that's right, Vic. That's right, because I couldn't figure out what I was going to use his name. So I decided, he had a funny accent.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I looked around the room, and there was a Curtis calendar, and that's what I used, a Curtis calendar. And that's how I got his name, according to him.
Wow, that's a great story.
There's so many stories that how he got his name, but that's what he said that day, and I was shooting pool, and I beat him.
Mr. Bill, did you know this background when Bob showed up?
Oh, yeah. Well, Bob let me know his background pretty clearly. When I met his dad was a great guy. And then this whole album thing came together. And his dad had me as like the musical director. And I didn't direct much of anything. He did all of it. He did it all.
When it came
but
to music.
But it was awesome. It turned out to be an awesome album.
We really should reissue it somehow. It's great. It made me smile.
I don't know how we can reissue it, but I know this. I know that we did a great job on it, and there was a lot of super talented people that were involved with it. So
Bernie Grumman mastered that.
Yeah.
Who did Thriller. My dad took out all the stops and took all the favors that people owe him. So he sent out, you know, and we mastered it. We mixed it down at Universal Studios downtown.
Uh-huh.
And put a lot of money in it. Actually, we did. John and
were there horns? I mean, how big was that? I mean, how many people played on session? I heard horns on.
Tom Walls plays horns.
Yeah,
but there was some really good cats playing on that album.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, but he was playing the horns, and we had us basically backing up, doing us. You know, it was all ours.
Really a lot of fun. So, Bill. What happened, what'd you do after the Stay Out closed? It closed in 94. Actually, tell the listeners why it closed. Was it a landlord?
Well, no, they had a fire, actually.
Yeah?
I wasn't working there any longer. They had a fire, and it pretty much did not come back from that. But, I was there for 25 years.
We should also go on record. I mean, that strip of Mannheim Road, there was a lot going on back then. And during your prime, there were strip clubs.
There certainly was.
Yeah. Describe the landscape of what was going on there.
Everything and anything. I mean, we had people from the lowest lowlifes to superstars. I mean, Forrest Whitaker was in there. I mean, the Murray brothers came in one night. After doing the club down here, the theater, the comedy
Second City,
mm-hmm. Right. After doing Second City, they came out there. We used to do comedy on Sunday nights. It started at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
we had Orlando Reyes from Chicago rest his soul, the great comedian, and he used to host this every week. But we had people like Emo Phillips, Judy Tenuta. Yeah.
The Amazing Jonathan.
Amazing Jonathan. I mean, on and on and on. Jeff Garland, who became a good friend of mine, and now what's he doing? He's got two shows on national TV that's awesome.
Well, why did people gravitate? Was it just the fact you were open all the time? Was it just the name? It was just such a great name. Stay out all night.
I think there was Bill. Bill was the greatest manager of any club there was. He was very friendly. He was overly invitive to everybody.
Yeah.
That's what did it. And I keep on telling him, he's got to go back into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, never. But we had a great staff.
I guess it was a bad memory.
We had a great staff of people. We had great bartenders. Diane was with me for over 20 years, and she knew everybody. You know, and I mean, the thing with a good bartender, they don't necessarily know your name, but they know what you drink.
Yeah, right.
And,
yeah.
You know, people would walk in, and well, their drink would be right on the bar. And that was important to people that came out at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So, fast forward to how did you get to be the Santa Claus for President Obama?
Well, actually, it's a pretty involved story. But
now, President Obama was never at Stay Out All Night, was he?
No.
No, okay.
No, actually, my friend Mike Artieri, who's the drummer for the Lovin' Spoonful, he said you should ask him if he ever came there. You know, because I had a lot of senators and people that came in there. Yeah. You know, and like I said, we had everybody from the lowest of low to the highest of high. I mean, everyone. And it was just a great time. Santa Claus came a bit after that. I started doing the Santa Claus thing. A friend of mine got me into it, Buzz Krantz, who's a harmonica player and played with my band, and told me I should be a Santa Claus. I said, Buzz, I've been a Santa Claus all my life. So anyway, make a long story short, I started doing Santa Claus. And my manager, Cindy Maharis, from Party Pals, she started getting me these like really good jobs. And I guess Mariah Carey's people called about 6 years ago, and they were looking for a Santa Claus who could sing and dance with Mariah Carey.
Okay.
And I got the job. So I did. Didn't sing with her, but I danced with her.
You danced with Mariah Carey.
Okay. I danced with Mariah Carey, and we did the show at the tree lighting ceremony in Washington, and they invited me back 3 more years in a row. Also, Mariah Carey called and had me come to her house in New York. I did the Today Show at her house in New York with Mariah Carey, Kathy Lee, and Hoda. And
how did Obama get involved then?
Well, they once I went to the White House with Mariah Carey, I was with the president at that time. And they invited me back for 3 more years. I've hugged the president, high-fived the president, danced with the president, sang with the president.
All right, let's not get too close. Yeah.
So, well, it was an awesome time.
What would you do? I mean, did you play Santa for the public, for private parties? What was your role at Santa at the White House?
Well, the role at the White House was the tree lighting, the national tree lighting ceremony, and all the celebrities that were there, and I was out on stage with all the celebrities, Tom Hanks, Reese Witherspoon, Eva Longoria, so on and so on. I mean, it was a great time. I had a lot of fun.
What skills did you learn at the Stay Out All Night that you apply to Santa Claus?
None. probably just being personable with people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was all part of the job. I mean, having a personality and greeting people and being nice to people, that was the whole thing. And, yeah, I do the same thing with the kids, the adults, the moms, the dads, the grandmas, the grandpas. I'm the same way with all of them.
What would you do when something went down at the Stay Out? I'm sure when you're open that late, you can maybe have some issues and stuff, people being overserved. Or
yeah,
would you get bouncers help you out? Or what would happen?
We had issues all the time, and usually I was the first one to get in it.
Yeah.
Bill was a tough little guy. I mean, he was like a fire plug.
Uh-huh.
That guy, he's strong as heck.
No, I used to, you know, I always tried to talk to people first. Be nice. Be nice. Like the Roadhouse. Be nice. Yep. Be nice until it's time not to be nice. And, I mean, sometimes you just couldn't avoid that stuff. So
we had some Rock'em Sock'em guys back then that were Everybody had great personalities, like doormen, people, but they didn't take any guff.
For I remember, it wasn't that far from the Stone Park is a small town. You weren't that far from the police department, right?
That's right, across the street.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
It was 100 feet to the police station. So
it's closer than I remember.
It was right there.
Yeah. So did the band play at the club?
Yes, absolutely.
How often?
Every week.
Every week.
We did a talent show every week.
Every Tuesday night, night.
And we had people come up and
2 a.m.
Yeah, 2 a.m. till 6 o'clock in the morning, and we were shuffling them out the door at that time. But we had all kinds of people. I mean, some incredible musicians came through there. Incredible.
It's probably politically incorrect right now, but it was popular for wet t-shirt contests. What were some of the contests you did?
I did wet t-shirt contests. I did
The money machine.
We had the money machine.
What was the money machine?
It was a box, and you would win a chance to go in the money machine, and there was cash in the bottom of the machine, and it would blow up in the air, and you had to catch it. Which was very cool. It was a lot of fun, and some people walked away with a lot of money.
Right, and don't forget the prizes for playing in a talent night. You automatically win a drink, but then you can win a Pepper's water bed.
Oh yeah,
we were giving away Pepper's water.
Yeah, that was great. All right, we're gonna take a break, and then we're gonna come back and do another live song.
Okay.
So don't go away at our tribute to the Stay Out All Night on WGN. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN with the Stay Out All Night band, and they are going to play with Mr. Bill on vocals, Mustang Sally.
Mustang down. Mustang Sally now, baby. Think you better slow your Mustang down. You've been running all over town now. You got put your flat feet on the ground. I bought you a brand new Mustang, 1965. All you wanna do is signify, woman, come on and let me ride. Mustang Sally now, baby. Your Mustang down. You've been running all over town now. You got to put your black feet on the ground. All you want to do is ride around, Sally. Oh,
The Stay Out All Night Band on WGN with Mustang Sally. That was great, Bill. Where would you guys go when the night was over? I mean, was there a breakfast place? Or
we went to a local grill around the corner. We had breakfast, and then I went back to the club to get all the liquor deliveries and everything else that had to be done.
Well, then when did you sleep?
Not much.
Not much. Not much. You know, we only got a couple minutes left. We put him on the phone before we went on the air, and we were talking about one reason the club was so popular. Our older listeners will remember the Starbeat Presents What's Happening. I think you could do a little riff of that. But Steve Cronin, tell us real quickly what that was about and how it drew people to the Stay All Night.
Well, it was on several radio stations. And, of course, the jingle, Starbeat Presents What's Happening.
Yeah. Stay at all
Saturday
night.
Night Disco, 1616 North Mannheim Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we were always grouped in with, like, three or four other clubs that were all, you was usually Eric's North and Eric's South.
That's right, I forgot about Eric's
yeah,
North. Yeah,
yeah. And then we were on the radio all the time. I mean, it was... You couldn't turn the radio on almost without hearing a stay-out commercial at some point in time.
And that helped build the audience for
Absolutely.
You. Yeah. Well, that was great.
We were always crowded.
Well, thank you. This has been a real, real treat.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming.
Thank
you,
Dave. God bless you. You're a wonderful human being.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for all your work. And give it a YouTube web. It's great to look at the archives.
Bob Cesario, C-E-S-A-R-A-O, Bob. And just look me up, and you've got... all kinds of videos there. My dad, me.
Good.
And the Stay Out Band working with Sonny Geraci. Remember we played?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did. We backed up Sonny Geraci.
He just passed away.
Hagwish Festival. We opened for the Grassroots and the Buckinghams.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in. It was a real treat. Thank you, Dan Long, for production, and thank you, Aubrey Mumpower. We'll see you next week on Nocturnal Journal.